Well, since we are going to talk about the signs of the Lord's return, I think it's important for us to go to Daniel chapter 9, because Daniel is a very special book. Actually, Daniel is very similar to the Apostle John. Both were called the beloved. Right? He's the beloved apostle, and Daniel is also called the beloved of the Lord. Right? I hope we're all beloved. Love and our relationship with the Lord is the most important thing. Not knowledge, but love. This is the first commandment. We have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and even with all our strength. So to love the Lord is a key to know the Lord. That is why, I'm sorry, it's okay, yeah? Is it working?
Yeah.
It's working, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh. No problem. No worry. I'll just put this one somewhere else. Yeah. Paul wrote in chapter 3 of Ephesians, there's something that surpasses knowledge. What is that?
Love.
To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So, don't appreciate knowledge too much. We all need to love the Lord with our whole heart. Right. This is the most wonderful relationship, even among us people. Right, husband and wife, or children and parents, and even in a church, the apostles called the saints the beloved. Yeah. We call them saints, but the apostles call them the beloved. That means they really love the saints. Yeah. So, love is the most important relationship between us and God. Yeah. Right. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, in order that we might be filled to all the fullness of God. So the best way is not a way of knowledge. It's the way of love. Yeah. If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. So if you keep the word of God, you need love. Right? If you don't love him, you have a lot of knowledge. You'll be puffed up. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul put love and knowledge as opposite to each other. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Right? So which one do you prefer, knowledge or love? Of course, love, right? And remember, this is the first commandment. The best commandment. Somebody asked the Lord, yeah, 10 commandments, which one is the best, the greatest of them all? With all your heart. Right. And what is the next one? To love knowledge.
No. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the key. This is really the key. Unfortunately, we missed it. Remember the first church, the church in Ephesus. They have a lot of good things. They have discernment, they have a lot of good works, they have knowledge, right? They did a lot of good things. But the Lord says, I have something against you. that you have left the best love. The best love. The first love is the best love. The Greek word there is not just the first love, but it's also the best. The best. Right. What is the last question the Lord asked Peter? Do you know me? How much do you know me? How much did you remember what I told you? Do you love me? How many times he asked?
Three times.
Wow. Did he ask you? Zero time? Right. How many times did we confess from our heart to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you? Not just to say it. Right. Our relationship with Christ, the best relationship is love. And this is why even First John says, this is love, and no other love is greater than this, that one laid down his life for us. This is love. In the church, if we have this kind of love, there will be no problem in the church life. We get easily offended just by one little word and we have problems. So anyway, in this second meeting, we want to look into a few important things that must shortly take place. In Daniel chapter 9 is a very important chapter for us. Right. In Daniel chapter 9, the Lord gave us a very wonderful mystery, especially concerning the 70 weeks. The 70 weeks. Let me start with verse, I'm in chapter 8, no wonder. Okay, chapter 9. Verse 24, beginning in verse 24. And before that, the Lord says, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. Verse 23, I have come, and that's Gabriel coming to tell Daniel. Right. I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. It's just like the Lord sent an angel to tell John in the island Patmos, in the island of Patmos, greatly beloved. I hope we have such a wonderful relationship. You want more revelation from the Lord? You better be a beloved of the Lord. Yeah, that's the way. Greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, right? So for the people of Israel, for the Jews, and for the holy city, Jerusalem. So these 70 weeks are separated out for this wonderful purpose. What wonderful purpose? First one, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy. That means they're all going to be fulfilled. Right? Whatever prophesied in Isaiah, for example, in chapter 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin shall be with child. That will be fulfilled. Right? Yeah, and it was fulfilled. And to anoint the most holy, not the temple. the most holy is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the anointed one. That's why he's called the Christ, the anointed one. Know therefore and understand now. From the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Remember, 70 weeks are separated out to fulfill God's plan, and especially related to Israel. So, the first part of the 70 weeks is the 7 weeks. And then, the second part is 62 weeks. So, altogether is how many weeks? 69 weeks. So, why divide it into 7 and 62 weeks? Because the 70 weeks is for the building of Jerusalem. It took exactly 49 years to finish the building of the city, not the temple. It's not about Ezra, it's about Nehemiah going back and rebuild that city. And it took exactly 49 years. No. The 7 weeks. Yeah. The 7 weeks, not 70 weeks. I'm talking about the first part of the 7 weeks. So that's why it is firstly taken out as part of this 70 weeks is the first 49 years, 7 weeks. It is for the rebuilding. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. And that really happened, especially after Nehemiah returned. Then, after the city was built, then there will be 62 weeks. That is the second part. You have to wait 62 weeks later. Right? The Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, of course. Why was the Messiah cut off? For our sake, for redemption. So at the end of the 69th week, the Lord Jesus was crucified. Cut off, not for himself, right, but for the accomplishment of redemption. Remember what it says here, right, in verse 24. To make an end of sin, to finish transgression, make reconciliation, right, to bring in everlasting righteousness. So the Messiah was cut off at the end of the 62 weeks. Plus the 1 week, so it is 69 weeks. Right. So, when the Messiah was cut off, what will happen? The people of the prince, which is Titus from Rome, will come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, the whole temple. The end of it will be with a flood, right? Until the end of the war, desolation are determined. And we have seen that fulfilled in Luke chapter 24. Not only the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem was destroyed, even Israel was wiped out of the map for almost 2,000 years, 1,900 plus years. So what happened to these 1,900 plus years? What happened to the 70th week? It was hidden because of the new covenant. Paul says that was a mystery hidden from men in the past, but now revealed through the apostles and prophets. So the new covenant was hidden from the public, from Israel. They didn't know about the new covenant, although it was written and prophesied. The Lord said, I will make a new covenant with my people, because the old one didn't work. It's only temporary to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. So you have to understand right now, from the 7 weeks plus the 62 weeks is only 69 weeks of what happens in the last week. Why did it come right away? You have to give me an answer. How come the last week was missing? And when is it going to take place? How is it going to happen when Israel disappeared from the map? There was no Israel anymore. Until when? Until 1948. So in this period of time, between the 69th week and the 70th week, is the age of the new covenant, the age of grace and the age of church, the golden shining lampstands, what the Lord really wanted, but it turned into something else. So in this period, between the 69th week and the 70th week, is the age of the new covenant. But the new covenant is coming to an end. You have to understand God's timing. Don't think God doesn't care for timing. No, God cares for timing. Why did He create and make His recreation, I call it renovation, for 7 days? Why 7 days? You think God cannot do it in 1 day? Can God do it in 1 day? Of course He can. Oh, why did He do it in 7 days? 6 days and plus one, the seventh day is the Sabbath. You think He just, I'm tired. After He created the light, He said, okay, I'm tired, I'm going to rest. I'll do the next one tomorrow. Oh, why did He do that? He did that with a wonderful purpose. Right in the very beginning, He showed us God's work will be 6 plus 1. 6 days. And the number 6 is a number of men created at the very end of the 6 days. Right. And then the 7th day is a Sabbath day. God rested. You have to realize this. Right? This is the way God works. How come, right, in the book of Revelation, you have 7 churches? Are there only 7 churches during that time, James? No, there are more than 7 churches. But why did God separate out only 7 churches? And then you have 7 seals. It is 6 plus 1. The 7th seal are the 7 trumpets. And the 7 trumpets are also 6 plus 1, because the 7th trumpet will be the 7 bowls. I think God can only count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seems He doesn't know mathematics too well, eh? 7th day is the Sabbath day. So number 7 is a very special day. Right? What about the years of Jubilee? How many Sabbath years? Ah, oh, come on. You mean God cannot count until, He can only count until 7? No. It is a very meaningful number. Very, very meaningful number. I don't want to get into that, but you have to see from Adam all the way until now is 6,000 years. And how come millennial kingdom is only 1,000? Isn't it better if it's 1,500 or 2,000 years? Don't you want to rule longer? Why only 1,000 and altogether 7,000 years? So from Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. From Abraham to the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is 2,000 years. And from the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ until today is also 2,000 years. And the millennial kingdom coming is only 1,000 years. So, how many years now? I'm very poor in arithmetic. Altogether 7,000 years, then you have new heaven and new earth coming. So that is another sign showing us that the end of this age is coming. Whether you like it or not, it's up to you. I'm not trying to convince you, but I'm just trying to show you that our time is running out. Our time is running out. Right. So, the last week in the book of Daniel is happening now. First of all, you have the recovery, the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948. Praise the Lord. It's a miracle. That was definitely a miracle. Right. No nation can recover after 2,000 years. It's impossible. Right? And then the Lord in Luke chapter 24, verse 21 says, Jerusalem will be trodden under the feet of the Gentiles until the times of the nations is what? Over. Finish. The times of the nation began with Babylonian kingdom until this very day. That image, you remember in the book of Daniel? Daniel is an amazing prophet. Very amazing. And the foot at the very end signifies democracy, because it is what? Clay mingled with iron. It's the power of the people. Democracy. So we are already at the very end of that image. And you can see in this country, democracy started 1776. We the people. Not the kings, but the people. And it's the power of the people. You know what Trump says? Trump said, I'm not transferring the power from one person to another, not from one party to another party. I'm transferring power from me to you, or we the people. Because real democracy is the power of the people. Demos and kratos. The power of the people. But now we are at the very end. And what comes next? The ten toes. What age is that, ten toes? Ten toes is the age of the beast. Because when the beast comes, the ten nations will give their power and authority to the beast, to support the beast. Because the beast is also a number of a man. Only it is triple the number 666. Right. So you can see these are signs. And it's coming to pass. Signs that will come to pass. Right. I don't know if you like Trump or you don't like Trump, but it doesn't really matter. But Israel loves Trump. Sorry, we don't have the coin here. Where's John? Oh, did we bring the coin here? No, you didn't bring the coin here. We'll bring it tonight here to show everybody.
You can put it on the screen.
Oh, you can put it on the screen. Oh, okay. Okay, I'll let John prepare it. You know, Israel considered Trump as the present modern-day King Cyrus. That's why they even made a coin. A coin that shows Trump and Cyrus together. Yeah. You have it? Oh, not yet. It's all right. It doesn't matter. You can see it later, okay? Right. Sorry? Okay. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But Israel really considered Trump as the modern-day King Cyrus. You know, King Cyrus is a very special person. 120 years before he was even born, Isaiah prophesied in chapter 45 concerning a king of Persia called King Cyrus. He's the first king, actually. Right. Oh, what about the one about Cyrus and Trump together? This is Netanyahu and Trump. You should turn it around here. Here. That's right. I forgot to bring my thing to show you. This is Cyrus and this is Trump. Why would Israel print out such a coin? Right? And this coin is to commemorate Trump declaring Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel in 2017 when Trump became president. This is one of the things no other president dared to do. And people told him, don't do that, you will create war if you do that. But he didn't care. Congress already, in mid-1990, already approved it. How come nobody did it? But Trump did it. Okay. And immediately after he did it, praise the Lord, the Temple Institute of Jerusalem print this coin out here. Right. And then it says here in this part, right? And he charged me to build America great again. Huh? Did he say that?
Build the house.
Build the house.
So who did he charge? Him or him? One is the ancient who really helped the people of Israel to return, at least the remnant, to Babylon, to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple and the city. And now here's another president here today, another King Cyrus, who did exactly the same thing, declaring Jerusalem to be the eternal capital. You know why the word eternal? I appreciate the word eternal because it is the capital of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel, he says, I will establish my throne here forever. And where did Trump get the inspiration to use the word eternal capital? Isn't it enough just to say the capital city of Jerusalem? What do you think?
Men could think it good enough.
Many thought it was good enough. Why does he have to add the word eternal? So you need to realize there is something sovereign of the living God raising up this man to do something for Israel. It's not MAGA. You know, Huckabee says, build Israel great again. That's what Huckabee said. Praise the Lord. Right? And here it is amazing. It is right to fulfill the 70 years. Right? because already in 2017, Balfour, at that time he's the Prime Minister of UK, he is the first one who declared, telling the Queen, that Israel needs to restore a nation. And it was 100 years later, 2017, right, somebody declared Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel. Wonderful, right? Okay, praise the Lord. And then Trump also made something very unique that no other president could have done it. And that is in 2020, he established the so-called Abraham Accords, the only peace treaty, a covenant with many, right? The only one. So where is that coin? John, where is that coin? It's coming? Okay, be patient, it's coming. Again, the Temple Institute of Jerusalem there issued an even larger coin concerning Abraham Accords. Here, wow, Abraham Accords. Amazing, right? This, and then move it here. Who signed here? This is the signature of our president. Donald John Trump. Right. It's amazing. Don't think it just happened. No. It was definitely designed by God. This man is chosen by God to do what nobody else would dare to do and have the strength to do. This is why he declared, we can only have peace through strength. You cannot have peace if you are so weak and nobody will listen to you. But now he's back, praise the Lord. And the whole world is shaking. So you can see that this man is not just to make America great again. No, democracy is coming to an end. No, we are the end of this age. But it is to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring in the 70th week. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. Sorry. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Let us go to our translation at the very end of the outline, the last page of the outline, because many of the translation are not very exact, especially in this verse. Okay? So, here, right, we don't have to go into much explanation. So down in page 5, the bottom of page 5, I'm sorry, no, at the bottom of page 5 of the outline. Yeah. Is it page 4? Oh, yours is page 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Our updated translation. As to the 1 week, that means chapter 20, verse 27 is about the last week, because the previous verses about the 7 weeks and 62 weeks, now, verse 27 is the last week, the 1 week. What's going to happen? What is the sign that this 1 week is about to happen or has happened? We don't know. if it's about to happen or it has happened. It says, as to 1 week, how do we know that 1 week is coming or is approaching or is started? A covenant with many shall be established with strength. Who could do this covenant? You mean to say the covenant for the peace of the whole world? No, for the Middle East. And it's called the Abraham Accord. I like the name, not Trump Accord. It's called Abraham Accord. You know, it's not simple to use this name because this name is our father of faith. But amazing is Abraham is the father of our father. It's a father of faith. It's also the father of the Jews. He's the father of Isaac and also the father of Ishmael. And that's why it's called the Abraham Accords. You think he just thought of it? Right. So, are the Chinese son of Abraham? Right. So, we know that God is showing us, telling us, the things that are to come. The Abraham Accord. It is another very, very important sign. Another very important sign. So here, and in the half part of the week, because there are 7 days, right? So 1 week is 7 days, right? Or 7 years here. So in the half part of the year, of the week, the sacrifice and oblation will be terminated. What does it mean? That means the end of the first half, what we will be seeing is that the Jews will begin the animal sacrifices and rebuild the temple. This is going to happen. And who is going to support them? Who is 100% for Israel today? Which president? Which power? Trudeau? Macron? Schultz? Biden? Who? Which country will support Israel to do this? Cyrus. King Cyrus. You know who I'm talking about. King Cyrus. He's the only one that's 1,000% for Israel. He proclaimed Jerusalem to be eternal capital. He established with strength peace in the Middle East at that time. Right? It's because he wasn't the president, somebody else. That's why there's trouble and war. But remember what Trump says. If I were president, there won't be any war in the Middle East. And he was the only president in the United States who didn't start any war. I'm not for him, okay? Don't think I'm for him. I'm for Christ. I'm not pro this or pro that. But I'm just showing you, God must use someone to accomplish. He used King Cyrus. Otherwise, which king is going to let the people of Israel, the remnant, come back to Jerusalem? Only King Cyrus. So, you have to understand that the King Cyrus will also know that he returned to finish the first half of his, what, duty, his appointment, right? What God has commissioned him to do. So when, after the inauguration, what you're going to see is the Jews will resume the animal sacrifices. He has to. They have to. Why? Because in the second half, when the beast appeared, the beast is going to stop that sacrifice. The beast cannot stop the sacrifice if it's not even there. How can you stop something that is not there? So who is going to help them and encourage them and stop people from right, starting another war because of the red heifer? You know, the Hamas blame the war to the red cow. Can you imagine a cow would start a war? How silly, right? But you can realize, right, something's going to happen in Israel. Remember, the last week is part of the 70th week sorted out by God for Israel, for Jerusalem, not for America, not for the Far East, not for Europe. Sorry, you're all from Europe here. It's not important. What is important today is Jerusalem. And Zechariah prophesied that at the end, in the war of Armageddon, the Lord is going to gather all the armies of the world to Jerusalem. And that will be in that valley of Megiddo there. It's going to be the winepress of God's wrath. And you're going to see this happening. You're going to see this happening. And the temple will be built. Not for God. No. God is not going to dwell in temple built with hands. At least not now. Right? You know, it's built for whom? It's built for the beast. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul wrote that a beast will enter into the temple to declare himself as God. Now, which temple do you think? Buddhist temple? To the mosque? To the meeting hall here?
No.
To a cathedral in Rome? Vatican? No, but the Jews are already prepared to build, not the whole temple, because in Revelation chapter 11 it says, don't measure the outer court, just the holy place and the holy of holies, just the sanctuary. And that's very easy. They're already prepared in the Temple Institute, all the materials, everything. In a short period of time, it's just like a prefab. It's a prefab Holy of Holies and prefab sanctuary. They just have to transport it there and set it up. But not for God. They thought it is for God. But it's another sign. Because in Daniel chapter 9:27, it says, and in the temple, God shall be there.
No?
What does it say?
There shall be
the abomination of desolation. Who is that? That's the beast. The moment you see that and witness that, everything is going to be destroyed. That will be the beginning there of the war. Armageddon will start. There will be a total destruction. Right? That is why that abomination is called the abomination and idol, because he declared himself to be God. That will cause and bring in a total destruction. Abomination of desolation. And until the decreed end, that means God has already predetermined how it will end. Otherwise, who said the decree? It's poured out on the desolator. This is why the beast that came out of the abyss in Revelation chapter 13, his name is called what? Apollyon, a destroyer. And Abaddon in Hebrews also means destroyer or destruction. Praise the Lord. Okay? Good? This is just a few things that are about to take place. A few things that are about to take place. And Daniel already prophesied this long time ago. But now it is being fulfilled. Now's the time for the last week to happen. And that last week is related to Israel. That's why there are another two coins. We'll talk about it later. Okay? Not today. Time is up. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Well, I just was greatly encouraged to hear this word again, because to see the things that which must shortly take place is a wonderful motivation for us to get ready. And I believe the Lord is really showing us, because of His great love and mercy towards us, that we would all be woken up again, another time, this last time before He comes. And yeah, to increase the burning of our spirit within us. So I really thank and praise the Lord for speaking to us this word in this last time, because He is coming quickly.
Yes, you know, the I don't know about you, but when you take a look at those coins, why would Israel mint such coins? Unless they had confidence that the president-elect is indeed the modern-day Cyrus. And it was, you know, this is, we only showed you two of five coins, right? And it makes an impression when you handle it, because it's not a rumor anymore. It's not hearsay. But there is great confidence amongst the people of Israel for that to happen. What more confirmation do we need? Right? I think in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it's very significant there. Right? When you read, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." I know for me, in the preparation for the conference, what has impressed me the most is that we would keep these things which are written in it. One question that was brought up was, why are we getting into the whole book of Revelation? We already know the timeline. Well, for those who asked that question, now that you've spent time in reading Revelation, what is your impression now? Why is it so important for to keep it in your heart? It's so that we can really repent and to turn to the Lord. Right. You know, when you read that at the end of Revelation chapter 9 and the middle of Revelation chapter 16, Mankind had just gone through the first six trumpets. Now, when you read those first six trumpets, what's the impression you get in your heart? David, after reading the first six trumpets, what do you want to do?
Repent.
Repent? Right? You're not just going to read those five, six trumpets and say, okay, I know. The first trumpet, one third of the trees are burned down, one third of the ocean is destroyed, one third of the drinkable waters becomes poison, one third of light, intensity of the sun, moon, and the stars are reduced, the demons are released from the abyss, and one third of mankind is destroyed by the 200 million horsemen. Now you read that, you know that, but is your heart full of repentance? Right, and sorry to say, at the end of chapter 9, it says, the rest of mankind would not return or repent of their ways. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, if I just went through one of the trumpet, I would be crying out to God. But today, the Lord has given us the book of Revelation. This book is not for the unbeliever, it's for you and me. How many times have we read it? And do we have a heart of repentance? For me, it's more like, how many times have I spoken it? Because this is a question I get asked quite often, is the whole issue, I mean, the whole timeline, at least I speak about it once, twice, five, six times in the last few years. I don't know how many times I've spoken it per year. But I had to ask myself, do I also repent? Does this word cause repentance in my heart? I know in preparation for the conference, there are many things that we had to coordinate. And many opportunities for me to just react in my natural man. And Sharon would always say, John, why are you reacting? And then, because we are spending time in Revelation, and all these words come flooding back into my mind and into my heart. I said, Lord, right now I want to take opportunity to repent. And to use this situation to gain Christ. This morning was a challenge. Trying to get six languages of translation on board, and we still can't hear all of them. And I'm trying to grab some brothers to help me pick, you know, hey, can you help me out? And in my heart, I was getting ready to react. But the words in Revelation kept coming back to my heart. Now's the time to gain Christ. I want to redeem the time and not waste it. I don't want to be like the rest of mankind who would not repent even after the first six trumpets. Right? This is why Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 was written really hard into my heart. Blessed is he who reads. Yes, we read it. Blessed are those who hear the words of this prophecy. I heard the message and I speak it. But the question is, do we keep these things which are written in it, for the time is near? The Lord has given us extra time. Oftentimes we say we are in overtime to prepare for his coming. And we pray that in this conference, they would not just be another conference saying, okay, now I know what's going to happen. But may the word here be powerful to operate in our hearts, to change our living. Because the time is really near. And the time to become first fruit is very short. So we thank the Lord for this opportunity to spend time in the book of Revelation. May we be those who keep these things which are written in it. Day by day, use this conference. Lord, write this word into my heart. And even more important, after the conference, Lord, bring this word back into remembrance. So when situations come up, we would take opportunity to repent. And it's not just to repent, but that the Lord can perfect us and bring us to the goal. Right? The goal to become kings and priests, to reign with Christ on this earth in the coming millennial kingdom age. So we praise the Lord and we thank the Lord for this time of the conference. Amen.